We're starting the top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, continue with the Braisa, or the Tosefta that we saw yesterday. The Tosefta yesterday we saw had three Girsos, and actually, yesterday something was bothering me with the Gemara, and I noticed in the Rosh that he discusses the Girsa, and he changes the Girsa as well. So we'll see, maybe we'll see the Rosh today based on that. So the Gemara says, "Ema Seifa." This is the second half of that Tosefta. I'm not Rabbi Lezer. "Ema Tvilim Kli Tameh Li Taher." Right? If they dip a utensil into the mikvah in order to be metaheret, it's Tvilu Kli Kleikeshi Tameh Li Taher. They should put a kli in the mikvah now, so that when it becomes tameh in the future, that'll be tahor. Shoshmamina Kailin. It's a chaylin. So they see that it is chal. So what's the Gemara's question? And just to review this again, the Gemara's question is according to Rabbi Eliezer, when he says that you can do a pre-emptive hafara, does that hafara work by making it impossible for the nether to be chal? Is it as if the nether was never chal at all? Or does it work by saying as soon as the nether is chal, it is meferet? So we had, again, the nafkamina, if someone is matkis a nether with her nether. The Gemara is trying to prove from different sources whether Rabbi Lezer believes that it was chal or not chal. So the first half of this Tosefta, when the Rabbanan talked about the mikvah, they said, right, ma mikvah shemale et hatmeyim, just like a mikvah takes care of those that are tamei, right, then if they go to the mikvah prior, right, becoming tameh certainly should protect them from becoming tameh. So from that part half of the Tosefta, it sounds like it was never chal. Because the way the Rabbanan phrased it was just like the mikvah prevents, is metahar someone, it will prevent you from becoming tameh. But the second half of this Tosefta sounds like, just like a kli, that is tameh, you put it in the mikvah, become tahor. If you put it in the mikvah prior to becoming tameh, then when it becomes tameh, it should be tahor. That sounds like it was chal, meaning that kishi yitameh, when it becomes tameh, right, li taher, it will be tahor. The second half of the Tosefta sounds like it was chal. So you have the first half of the Tosefta sounding like it's not, and the second half of the Tosefta sounding like it is chal. So Mar says, Amre, in the base measure state said, Rabbanu lo kaima lahon v'tameh Rabbi Eliezer. They didn't know which way Rabbi Eliezer really had. What do you hold? If you hold that it's chal, the nether is chal, and the alfara is mevatalet, to have a kli, then we'll give you the second half of the Tosefta, it's about a kli, that will upend your position. If you hold that it does not chal, and the nether is never in effect, to have a mikvah, to yuvtech, then mikvah should be the undermining factor.
No, it seems to be your support.
To you.
I understand, but it doesn't make any sense.
Why? The Rabbanan are asking a question on Rabbi Eliezer.
Isvir lach dechaylin. If Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's
nether is chal,
that it's chal,
then the kli, which is the second half of the Tosefta, which talks about a kal v'chomer that does not work when the tuma is chal, that'll be the upending of your position.
Okay.
All right? And then if you hold that it
worked, then you're right, it would be proof. But the point is that it
the common are bringing rejection to his proof, right? And then if you hold the chaylin, right, that it is, if you hold that it's not chal, then mikvah will be tiyutif. Then the first case we write down, well, mikvah will be a tiyufta to you. So what bothered me about this Gemara is that the Tosefta sounds exactly like this. The first part of the Tosefta sounds like it's not chal. Because mikvah says, just like a person is tahor when he goes to the mikvah, if he goes to the mikvah beforehand, he should never become tameh, which means that it's not chal. And the other way with the kli, just like if a kli, the way that Tosefta sounds in the sefer, if you dip a kli in the mikvah to make it tahor, and if you put it in beforehand into the mikvah, then that should prevent it, that should, when it becomes tameh, make it tahor. So it sounds exactly like what the Gemara is saying. But why? The fact that it says that a person will not become tameh, and a kli becomes tameh, and then will be tahor, is just it's an issue of language. There's nothing about the two cases that makes you want to say that by mikvah, it should prevent you from, by adam, it should prevent you from becoming tamei. And by kli, right. And by kli, that it should be, it's tamei and becomes tahor. You could have switched them around and said the exact same thing. And there's nothing mukrach in the cases that forces you to say either way. It's just because they worded it that way that it sounds that way. Right. So it makes no sense. So it was bothering me. So the Gemara bothered me. So I saw that the Rosh, I saw in the Rosh that he actually asked the question. So I was happy to see. And then he, somebody said something about it. So that was here. If you look down in the Rosh, second, the widest lines in the Rosh. Let's see, do you have the same format? It says Vigirsa Zulo Nira. That's the terms I'm looking for. Vigirsa Zulo Nira. It's after the your header is probably Amre Rabbanan de Beit Sifta.
Yeah.
Okay.
One second. Amre.
That's Vigirsa.
Okay, so Vigirsa, so you see where in Rashi it says Kedushin Dalin Amala at the beginning of the line?
Amre Rabbanan.
Right, so a little further down, Vigirsa Zulo Nira.
You see the line that starts with the condition, Dalet Amal Panashim?
Because, yeah.
It's very right. Parallel.
So, no, here the,
so this is my
Rosh. Once you two were able to use this,
alright, so here we go. Because it's Zulo Nira. So in the Rush, he says, the girsa that we have doesn't make sense. The ha pircha gufa. The parke marabana mikli, isavre the chayle, matlu mifrach mimikba. It's the same question that they ask from kli, you could ask from mikva. Isavre lo chayle, mikva yopiach, shein matzila la tawar mila kabel tuma, visvar the chayle. And if you hold that it is chal, upake kati mikva yopiach, you could use mikva the same way, shemala ta maybe tuma to. You could have used the term li shitame by mikvah. That is not unique to Kli. So you said you could have used mikvah to answer both questions because there's nothing different about mikvah or Kli. So why did they leave the example of mikvah and make the Kli? They could have said this, they could have said the same example in mikvah twice and answered up on both sides of Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the girsa sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. What's that? So this is, if you remember yesterday, we went through the Ran, but there were a number of girsot in the Ran about how to read the Gemara of Mikveh. And we said, you know, the simplest girsa is one that we don't have, but I showed you the simplest girsa is the first one that the Ran brings down, that the only thing that's mentioned is Mikveh. But the reason why that doesn't work so well is because exactly this problem of the Rush. If you just have mikvah being there, then that's not necessarily a proof to what we say later on in the Gemara, that only when it's not chal is the first half of the septa. When it is chal, it's the second half of the septa, because that's a language difference, not a case difference. So now you can change the girsa to add in the adam like we have. And once you change the girsa, you'll see there is something that is unique to this first half versus the second half. Tashma, so what's the girsa? Tashma. Amar lo Rabbi Elazar, ma adam. That just like an adam is not malet tmeim tumah perish imbala tabat tmeah. If he swallows a ring that is tamei, right, or tumas meis tamei tumas meis, right, that is behiza. So this is different than what the Ran had in his views. It's very interesting. So he swallows a ring that is tamei, then behiza v'shana v'tavo. He went and got a paraduma sprinkled on him. And he went to the mikvah, so he became tahor. He was tamei tumas meis, and he swallows a ring that's tamei. Then he goes, gets the paraduma sprinkled on, and goes to the mikvah, and now he is tahor. Vehikia, and then he throws up, spits up the ring. Arihi kemosh haita. The ring remains tamei, and not tahor like he is. Lo nitara b'tzvila, v'hazak ha'adam shibala. And the sprinkling and the mikveh of the man who is tamei does not help him. Therefore, if someone spoils a tamei ring, then he becomes tahor. The ring that is tamei remains tamei inside of him. It does not change its status. Now, matzilat the torim l'tamei. So now, what's the other half? Imbalat habat tehora. He swallows a tahor ring. Venichnas the ohel meis. And then he goes into a ohel of a meis where he will become tamei meis. Vekia lomit meis. Right? And he spits it up and does not become tamei. Tahara, the tahara blua lomitama. Because something that is tahor, that is encompassed, totally encompassed, tahara blua, does not become tamei. Mikvesh, mavle et tamei mitumasam hatov limbo. So a mikvah, that when you dip in it, right, because those that dip in it tahor, henu din, silah tahor milutame, isn't it a din that it should be protect, right, those that are tahor becoming tame. Right, so here you have, what's the case? So the case is the reverse of the way we have it written in our Gemara. So the case is, if I swallow a tame ring, and then I go become tahor, does not affect the ring. The ring remains tamei. If the ring is tahor inside of me, right, then if I walk into the olam eis, it remains tahor. So a mikvah, which helps against the first case, as opposed to the first case where you swallow a tamei ring and become tahor, there the ring remains tamei. If you go to the mikvah and you're tamei, you become tahor. It's able to fix you. And certainly in a case, right,
And you keep a tahor object.
Tahor,
even when you become a
tamei, then certainly the mikvah should be able to prevent you from becoming tahor. In that case, it has to be. The mikvah is comparing to the case of the ring. In the case of the ring, it prevents it from ever becoming tamei. And therefore, the example of mikvah is something where it prevents you from becoming tamei, as opposed to after you become tamei, it should become tahor. Because of the way it compares the two cases between ring and mikvah, the way ring case works is that you protect the ring from ever becoming tameh. Therefore, the comparison to mikvah would be that if the mikvah is mitahir of someone, then certainly it should protect them from ever becoming tameh. And that's why the case of mikvah is only a case where it's lokal. Whereas the case of kli is not compared to tabat, that's a case where it's even if it is kal. That's how the Rush deals with the deals with the issue. But that explains why that girsa came about. I mean, that the girsa versus mikvah, where it was mikvah alone, right, that was not sufficient because of what was bothering me, and that I saw the Rush was bothering the Rush, is that what's the difference between mikvah and kli then? They're the same case. Now, if you add in this whole issue of tabat, right, about the ring, and you're only comparing mikvah to the ring, then it has to be the mikvah is a preventative measure, that it never allows you to become tamei, because of its comparison to the case of the ring. In the case of the ring, it's tahor and never becomes tamei. So that's just interesting, Rosh, both because it addresses the issue that we have in the Gemara, but also explains why the girsa isn't the simple girsa of mikvah, which would have made sense. If you read it on its own, mikvah would have made sense. But now, this whole idea of the ring came about because of the need to address its difference from kli. And interestingly enough, the Ran, who quotes this girsa, who has this girsa of the Ran, of the Rush, does not mention that when he swallowed the tamei ring that he went to become tahor. He didn't mention the fact that he got a paraduma, that he went to become, that he got sprinkled on to become tahor, which was interesting to me in addition, because he doesn't have that issue of the Rush. Alright. So now we're continuing the Gemara. So the Gemara is inconclusive so far as to what Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is. Amalan Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to bring a proof to his position. Mazraim tmeim. If you have a zera that is tamei, if a seed that is tamei, kevin shizar an bekarka tahorim. If you plant them in the ground, they become tahor. Zruim vilmdim lo koshkein. Those that are already planted mean that those that were never picked should remain tahor, which is the case, right? If you have things that are mechubar the karka, vegetation, foods that are attached to the ground, that are apples on a tree, grains in the ground, vegetables in the ground, they cannot, even if a tamei meis touches them, they do not become tamei. So they will never become tamei. It's not they become tamei and they're tahor afterwards, they just never become tamei. Similarly, if a seed that is taken out, a seed is ochel can become tamei. But if you plant ochel in the ground and you reattach it to the ground, and you make it mechubar the karka again, once you plant it in the ground, it becomes tahor again. So that Rabbi Elazar says, look, I can show you that in other halakhas, in other places in the world of halakha, there is such a kabbalah kumar that supports my position in Nedarim. Just like Zeraim. That by Zeraim, if you have a Tamei Zera and you plant it, it becomes Tahor, then certainly a Zera that's already planted, meaning something that's growing already or in the ground already, should not become Tahor. Guess what? That is the halakha. Right?
Should not become Tamei.
Should not ever become Tamei, right? Thank you. It should always be Tahor, but it should never become Tamei, right? Is so too by Nedarim. It should work the same way. So he says, you, the Rabbanan, so far we've had a whole list of them now, the Rabbanan are coming up with paradigms that upend his position in Nedarim and say, look, the halakha just doesn't work that way. Just because it works after the fact doesn't mean it'll work to be preventative before the fact.
What did we say was the halakha? You're a person to make when they touch a shirt.
It's Tamei.
They become Tamei.
Yeah, mikvah doesn't work. That's why the Chacham use it as a proof, or try to prove against Rabbi Elazar from that perspective. So I'm saying we've had a list of these types of halakhos where the paradigms are that you can't say just because it works after the fact doesn't mean it works before the fact. Now Rabbi Elazar brings down say, look, I found enough. There is other halakhos where it works. What I'm saying is true. Just like by Zera it works that way. Because it works after the fact, meaning once it's in the ground, it is Tahor, or once you plant it, it's Metaheret. And certainly beforehand, if it's already planted, it prevents it from becoming Tamei. So too by Nedarim, it should work that way. So then where it says, the Mar leaves it at that. Based on that, Shmamina, Lo Kailin. Alright, so that'd be the last thing, according to Rabbi Elazar, using that as his proof that it would show that the Nedar is never Chal. Because when you plant the seed, when something's growing in the ground, it's not that it becomes Tamei and then it's Tahor, as it grows more, no. It never becomes Tamei. So if that's the case, if his comparison is to Zraim or to seeds, then it must be that by Nedarim it's never Chal. That's his position. So now the Gemara leaves this and goes, Rabbanan lo darshi kal v'chomer. Why don't the Rabbanan learn the kal v'chomer of Rabbi Elazar? Why do they reject Rabbi Elazar's kal v'chomer? So what are you going to say? That they don't darshan kal v'chomers in general? Right? But that's not true. V'hatanya, we have a price. Yochel yim kor adam et bito kashi na'ara. I would think a person could sell his daughter to be a shifcha. When she is an ara, amart kavachomer, mechura kvar yotza. Right, that a girl who's already sold as a shifcha, when she reaches the age of nara, then she automatically goes free. Einu mechura, einu din shelo dimacher. Right, isn't it clear that a woman who is already, right, becomes an ara prior to being sold, that means that she can't be sold. So the exact kavachomer, right? The kavachomer. If a woman who's already in the state of being a shivcha, right, can, or an ama ibriya, can be freed when she reaches age, then certainly if she's already of age, means that you can't sell her into being an ama ibriya, and that's musikum lakol. Right, that's everybody holds to that kavachomer. So you see that the chachamim do have this principle of kavachomer. If something is true, right, after the fact, then it should be true before the fact. And you see the chachamim have such a position.
I mean, what I don't understand is that the seed analogy is a good one.
Right.
It works. I mean, this maybe is also a good one. It works, but the mikvah analogy doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know which
paradigm
to
use, right?
Like, has there been anything in the actual logic or comment on this within the Gemara which has said this is not a good analogy for this reason? I don't think of.
All right, so we're going to see in a second. That's a good question.
You can't compare Tumah to Shabbos in certain. Who says you compare?
Right. Okay. Very good. So, right. What makes one better? What makes one a better comparison than the other? That's your question. Okay, so we're going to see that basically the answer to your question, so we'll give a heads up on the Gemara coming up. The answer to your question is that they all are good kavachomers. The time when we can't say a kavachomer is when there's a pasuk that upends it. And we're going to see in each of these cases that there's a pasuk that upends the kavachomer.
Yeah, I think also, I think in general, the question of the Gemara is if we see that they make that kind of a kavachomer. It's not saying that one is better than the other. It's just saying if we see that they make that kind of kavachomer sometimes, then why don't they make it all the time? Then the answer is that there are times that it's suppressed by Zeres HaKasa or whatever.
Right. But Kavachomer is a logical argument. which is not right. It's not something that comes from a pasuk. It's all of a logical argument. It's one of the shlushas remidot that is not necessarily like gzer shava and others that are passed down by misora. Kavakomer is something that someone actually could create as a logical argument.
Right.
So here, if you have the logical arguments, what it turns out is that the logic is true in all these cases. Logic should work. And you have to ask yourself why it does not work. So, truthfully, the Chacham should hold the Rabbi Lezer's Kavachom here. Why don't they hold the Rabbi Lezer's position that we had in the Mishnah, right? And the Gemara is going to say again, what's the reasoning? Because there's a hekesh between Hafara and Hakama. Isha, right? Right? Isha, Ifaram, Isha. That a person can keep the nether or can't keep the nether. I mean, that they have to have both sides. Exerce a custom prevents the logical argument from being made in this case.
So where's the work by that?
There's a pasuk also. There is a pasuk that, alright, we'll do it in a second. We'll go through all of these in a second, why they don't work. Alright, let's go. We'll just finish up the Gemara and then we'll say, because it's Daniel's question. So in Ba'alma Darshi Kavachomer, in general, they do use the logical argument of a Kavachomer, Vishani Hafadamar Kra, Isha Yikimenu, Visha Yiferenu. Right, so then, in general, they do make such a kavakomer, but now, by Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yifrenu, there's a Gzeres HaKatuv, there's a Hekesh between Hakama and Afara, Etche Balakal Hekim, Balakal Hefer. That if you can be making the nether, you can be Mefer the nether. That need Mesora for. Exactly. That is a Hekesh. That Hekesh, whether that Hekesh is applicable here or not, that is a matter of Mesora. So come have Mesora, that those two are inseparable. Rabbi Elazar has a Mesorah that maybe there is a hakesh between them, but it's not applicable in this case. Shelo ba'alik lo hakeim, lo ba'alik lo hefer. If it cannot reach the position of hakama, then it cannot reach hafara. And we said even Rabbi Elazar agrees that you can't do a hakama prior to the fact, because the kavakomer doesn't exist by hakama. The logical argument only exists by hafara. So now you're asking to me, oh, what about mikvah? What about zra'im? How come we don't have such a case? So now, if you look in the Ran,
as long as Zerim, we said it does work.
Right, so why do the Chachamim not hold of that? Or they actually do hold of it?
Yeah, they don't disagree by Zerim.
Right, so why? Why do they agree by Nizraim? Why do they agree by Amar Igriya? They agree with all those cases, right? So here, you see, look in the Ran. The Ran on the previous Amar, I don't know, in Bavar and Allah, four lines from the bottom. In the Ran on the previous Amar, it says Vinira. It's the third, fourth word on the line, Vinira. Vinira Ve'inai. Why did the Gemara ask on the Chachamim from the Braisa of Amma Ivriyah and not from the Braisa of Zraim? Zraim is also a problem for the Chachamim, and shows, and the Chachamim holds of that. Everybody holds that something that's in the ground is not Mikabel Tumah. So why don't you ask on the Chachamim like that? Sure, look, we have a proof that the Chachamim hold of Kabel Chomer. They hold of this Kabel Chomer by Zeru. Tamalem Rabbi Lezer, Mishum Tolo Kimlu, Lashas, Dad, Tayo, Rabbanim, Zruim, Bomdim. The Gemara does not know what the position of the Chachamim is, something that's planted. Shumahaki Parach, my Braisa, the Lekaman, the Polygolo. They bring it from the Braisa, there's no one that argues on it, and that's Ama Yibriya. So, truthfully, by Zeraim, I don't know anybody who argues on it either, but Inami, or the possibilities, the Efshar, the Sri Lul Rabbanan, the Zeruim, the Omdim, the Tzarch, Kalvachomer. By Zeruim and Omdim, you don't need a Kalvachomer, the Mikra, Akozera, Zerua, Naps, Gufe, Nafke. That there's a Pasuk that supports the position of the Kavachomer. So despite the Kavachomer, even if you didn't have the Kavachomer, there's a pasuk that supports that position. So come and hold of it, not because of the Kavachomer, because of the pasuk that supports it. So again, there, maybe the issue is not because the Kavachomer is a good Kavachomer, because there's a pasuk that backs it up. Now the last one is by mikveh, why does it work? And let me just find the lines in the mikveh. Yeah, up in the top of the Ran. Right, the Ran on the same Amud. So Mikvah Yochiach. What's the first line in the Ran? It's the middle of that line. First line in the Ran. Ayin Vavanav Mikvah Yochiach. You see that? Mikvah Yochiach. All the way at the top of the Ran. On the page. Ayin Vavanav. Top of the Ran. All the way at the top of the page. Ayin Vavanav. Top of the page. Way top of the page. You got it?
Oh, sorry, right in the middle of that line.
Mikvah Yochiach. You got it? Okay. Fine. Mikvah Yochiach, Shemetayer Tamim, Achar Shiyardalem Tuma, Venu Matzila Torim. Right? It takes off Tuma from people already Tamei. Does not save Al Torim, Shim Taval, but Odu Tahor. If he's tovel when he's already tovel, lo mahani leit tvilas shelo yavoli day tuma im yiga akakach b'sheretz. Won't help him if he takes the sheretz afterwards. The araba darshinan b'sifri, which rush in the sifri by no gea b'niv latam yitzma. Even if you're in the mikvah. So each of these cases, you have a pasuk, right, that undermines the kal v'chomer, right? Either undermines or supports the kal v'chomer. So that's the indication that for the chachamim, the kal v'chomer is a logical argument. Logical argument should be applicable in every case. Why doesn't it work by mikvah? We have a pasuk that says, don't let it work. Why doesn't it work by nedarim? We have a pasuk that says, don't let it work. Why does it work by its rhyme? Either because it does work, or because there's a pasuk that supports the kal v'chomer in that case. And so you see that that exactly your question about when do we say we don't say it, the answer is we say it in every instance, unless we have a pasuk that prevents you from making such a logical argument.
Yeah, in other words, fundamentally, the reasoning that...
The logic is sound.
Right, something that that can uproot, so it's already got the negative status, should be able to prevent it from achieving the negative status in the first place. So sometimes there's a pasuk that tells us
otherwise.
Sorry, Charlie, it doesn't work that way.
All of these kal v'chomers assume that hafaras nedarim, a preemptive hafaras nedarim, submerges and encompasses any future nether that may be made.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. Hafaras nedarim is something that's Ayyate bitui. A person has to state something at a specific point in time. That statement, that statement is not as permanent as as all encompassing as water or ground.
Well, it could be. It could be the way you state it. Depends how you state it. We do that by Hadaras Nedarim, right? By Kol Nidre. We say that any nether I take in the upcoming year, right, will be Mutar or Mufar or everything else that we say that will be invalid from now.
Mm-hmm.
So Hafara can work the same. The statement, if you just say the nether is Mufar, then you're right. Then it's gone once you've said it. But if you say any nether she will take from now to then,
you need a good lawyer to structure the...
Right, you have to say it in the right way. I mean, they can't just say it's Mufar. You have to say that anything from now until I come back will be Mufar, da da da. I mean, that has to be done in a language that encompasses those cases. Alright, that's the end of that sugya. So again, the conclusion of the sugya is that Rabbi Lezer seems to indicate that it's lo chal, that the nether would not be chal at all. The chachamim really do not disagree with the logic of Rabbi Lezer, but they have a pasuk that says do not apply this logic in this case here. Alright, next. Now this is something we mentioned when we read the psukim, right? And again, if you look in the, I think everybody has read the psukim that we gave out, right? That you have the, right, we had these the psukim that we gave out. In the psukim that we gave out, right, we want to know, it says that when the husband hears about it, he has the right to be made for the nether. Right, when he has the right to be made for the nether, once he's heard about it, how much time does he have to be made for the nether? That's the question. How much time? So if you look in Pasuk Chet, right? In Pasuk Chet, it says, B'shama Isha, B'yom Shamo. On the day that he hears it, V'hech Rishla, and he's silent, Kamer Nedarev, it's the Rav Shasran Lav Shayakumu. So, B'im B'yom Shamo Isha, and on the day that he hears it, Yen Yilta, right? V'Pirat Nedara, he rejects it, right? He is upset by it, and he's made for the Nedar, Shalat, and Mephesedar, Shasran Lav Shav, Hashem Yislach La, then it goes away. So from those psukim, Zayin and Chet, it sounds like, what's the ability of the husband to be made for the nether? It also shows up again in Pasuk Yud Bet, Isha B'yom Shem'o. Right, again, B'yom Shem'o. So B'yom Shem'o sounds like what? But on the day that he hears it. So only on the day that he hears it is he able to be made for the nether. So then again, now when you read Pasuk Tet Vav, you go to Pasuk Tet Vav, I pointed this out when we were reading the psukim at the time, if the husband is silent to the nether, right? Miyom el yom, from day to day.
That sounds like this is a 24-hour
thing. Right. So here, yachrishla biyom shamo, because it was silent on the day that he heard it. Right. So now, which one is it? Is it biyom shamo, or is it miyom el yom? So it's not clear. The psukim
Yom could also mean, an astronomical day.
And very good. Wow. Very good. I would never have thought of that, but you are right. The Gemara had such a havamina.
Yom al yom.
Should be like,
absolute. Days are absolute.
Right.
Quantities of time.
Well, you could say, but astronomical day means, like, for instance, the Gemara is going to have a havamina that if you said, if she hears about the Neder on Tuesday, that he should have until the following Tuesday. And to be made to the nether, miyom elyom, like what you're suggesting, that it's a miyom elyom just means a fixed point in time that should be recurring somehow. It should happen again. So miyom elyom. So that's it. But anyway, but the pashut pshat miyom elyom is that it should be 24 hours, a 24 hour period. All right. So now you have problems that you have a.
We had the same idea when.
And miyomim tehegulato. That's by a.
Yes.
Patli ari koma. And they're neklat yamim the hey gulato. There, the Gemara says, but yom, whether it's
we had in the Gemara,
whether the shana zu or shana means a full year or to the end of this year, right? So shana would be to the same date, recurring date next year, or does it mean 12 months? And that's what we had by earlier on by the Dharm. What's when you say shana? What does it mean when it's a leap year? Does it mean until this date next year, or does it mean 12 months from today? The same thing. That would be miyom yom. Yamim tehek gulato. We had that by the batei koma. When are they nechlat? Does it mean from today when you sell it? Exactly 12 months later? Does it mean from today to the same date? And that could be 13 months later when you have a leap year. We had those types of cases. But here, anyway, the psukim are unclear. One says miyom shamo. One says miyom yom. So which one is it? And that is a machokas tanoim in our Mishnah. Afaris nidarim kol hayom. A person's time is all day. Yeshba davar lahakel ulahak mir. There is a kula and a chumra. This case. No drav b'leilei Shabbat. She took a neder on Friday night. The affair b'leilei Shabbat will be Yom Shabbat. Then she can be made for the neder Friday night and all through the day of Shabbos. Achitech shach until it gets dark on the end of Shabbos. Nidraim kashek. If she took a neder on Shabbos day itself, right before nightfall, made for achitech shach, and she can only be made for until nightfall comes. If he didn't do the afara by or two, we're becoming dark, then he can't do it. Tanya, afaras nedarim kol hayom. Afaras nedarim is all day. Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon, we're made 8 le'8, or 24 hour period.
I don't understand how that Mishnah has shown that you could be lenient or stringent.
Very good, good question. So it's not really...
I'm not.
It's not literal.
The ratio is lenient, the safe is stringent.
Well, it's not in a
case. How much time there is available.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah.
There's no difference. It's just saying you have to get dark.
Right.
So I did it 19 hours earlier, or I did it, three hours earlier or 19 hours earlier. It's game over after 24 hours,
After the 24 hour period.
No, the Mishnah is not 24 hours. The Mishnah is astronomical.
When it gets dark.
Right. So she made it Friday night. She's got almost, let's say, the full 24 hours, for him to be made for it. Whereas if she did it, late Shabbos afternoon, she has maybe 2 hours.
But
if you look in the Rosh, she doesn't explain. All the Rishonim explain it based because of your issue. They don't explain Kal and Chamur as being literally light and Chamur. But really, katsar and aruch. It doesn't mean literally something that's more lenient and less, more stringent. It means longer and shorter. And that's it. If you look in the rush goes, if you go be yish b'davar l'hakelu l'hakmir in the rush, yish b'davar l'hakelu l'hakmir, klomar, pamim meper zman katsar, pamim zman miruba. But lo shi yish b'davar l'hakel tfei, v'man davar made late. It's not that there's a kula or a kumra. And that's it, just, I have a longer duration or a shorter duration.
Yeah.
Roshani is the guy, the girl that we had, the guy with the yahrzeit,
the day,
it was the same day, whether it was the same day of the month, or it was the same day, right?
Right, that was a recurring item, right? When he takes a neder for every Tuesday, what is it?
Right, so what does it mean?
Okay. All right, very good. So now we have a machlokas in the Gemara that disagrees with our mission. Our mission takes one side, which is that it only works by Yom Shamo, on the day that he hears it, and then it's done on that day. But now we have a brace that shows us there is actually Tanoim that disagree with our Mishnah, and there is some Tanoim, the Tanakama of the brace that says the person Darim Kola Yom means just that day until nightfall. Whereas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda hold 24 hours. Whenever he hears it, he gets 24 hours. My time at the Tanakama. So what's the reasoning of the Tanakama? Amar Kra, b'yom shemot, as we saw in the post psukim, when it says, it sounds on the day that he hears it. So only until the end of that day should it be allowed. Rabbanan maitamayu, and what's the reasoning of the Rabbanan who argue? Dechtiv, as we saw in the pasuk, miyom el yom sounds like 24 hours. So now, what's the Gemara going to ask? What does the other position do with the alternate pasuk? Right, so that's it. Well, the Tana Kama dechtiv miyom el yom. Right, the Tana Kama has right miyom el yom there. So he's learning from yom shemo. What does he do? Miyom el yom. It's true. Because had it simply said biyom shemo, I would have thought that you could only be made from the dorm during the day, not at night. It teaches from miyom yom because there is a possibility under the Tana Kama that you will have 24 hours. And what is that? If she takes the net to write a Shabbos comes in on Friday night, she takes the net to write then, you will have miyom el yom. So since there is such a case, it shows you that you could be made from the dorm at night. So now that miyom yom is the standard by which we measure every time, but since biyom shemo is the standard, but since within biyom shemo there's a possibility of having such a case of miyom yom, shows you that not only can you be made for nedarim during the day, you can also be made for nedarim at night. Well, the mandam miyom yom, and according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, right, who say biyom yom means 24 hours, hakti biyom shemo. What are they going to do with the pasuk biyom shemo? It's true. Dikti miyom el yom, had it simply written el yom, havamina, we would have a havamina like the Tzvit said, mechad shab to the chad shab, from Sunday to Sunday. Yom el yom, from this Sunday until next Sunday, lefer la, ti biyom shamo comes to teach you. No. What it means, miyom el yom means 24 hours, meaning on the day that she heard it, that'll be the 20, that triggers the day, that triggers the 24 hour period. And since that is contained locally, the 24-hour period, it doesn't mean this day till the same day in a year from now, same day from a week from now, but it means literally 24 hours biyom shemo, on the day that he hears it. All right. So Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, ain halacha koto zuk. Right, there is no, the halacha is not like that pair. Who's that pair? That pair is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. So the halacha is not like them, and therefore it's only biyom shemo on the day that you hear it.
Okay. The argument sounds a lot better to me.
All right, so that's it. So just quickly, we'll finish up. There's one more line in the Gemara, two more lines in the Gemara, and we're going to see this actually a machlokas rosh in the Ran have explained this Gemara. Levi Savar, it's a very strange Gemara, by the way, because it just appears out of nowhere. I mean, it doesn't really even makes no sense. All right, Levi Savar Lameva Kani Tnai. So Levi thought to do like these Tnanayim. Amalei Rav Hakim Ar Chavivi. Rav says, this is what my Chavivi, who's Chavivi? Chavivi was his beloved, was Rav Chia, right? Rav Chia, who was his uncle from both sides. And Allah goes to Zub. Allah is not like that pair. Alright, Gemara ends, that's pretty clear. Chir bar Rav, Chir, the son of Rav, Shadi Gira Ubodik, would be shooting arrows, would be shooting arrows for practice. I'll read it like the Ran now. Would be shooting arrows for practice. Ubodik, and at the same time, you'd be Poteach Nedarim for people. So is that having, arrow shooting practice. He's at the firing range, right? At the arrow firing range, the shooting range. And somebody would come for him for a petach l'nedar, and he would be poteach l'nedar because he didn't feel it needed a lot of concentration, because he believed, Kibara believed that you could use harata as a petach l'nedar. Even if he had regret, that was enough of a harata. You didn't need to look for a petach. A real petach harata was sufficient, and therefore he didn't think it needed a lot of concentration. Because it didn't need a lot of concentration, he was able to practice his arrow shooting and he poteach l'nedar at the same time. Here by Rav, or should I give Badik, Rav of Barahuna Yoti Bikayim. And Rav of Barahuna also had the same issue. He used to stand up and sit down and walk around, meaning that he didn't have to sit and concentrate to be poteach l'nedar because he was able to bounce around and he thought the same thing, that it was easy to be made for a nether. So if you look in the Ran, that's the way the Ran explains our Gemara. Look at the last line, the second to last line of the round, the last word. The kasavar potkim karatum shumhakabe yitzarach iyamim so petach. So he didn't need a lot of concentration to potach the nether, and therefore he was practicing at his arrow shooting at the same time. That whenever someone came to him, whatever he was doing, he was standing, would stay standing, he was sitting, would stay sitting, he wasn't really makbid to focus on the case because he thought it was easy to be potach the nether. So he turns around, it reads nicely. The only question is, what's this Gemara doing here? It has no connection to the Gemara beforehand. I mean that it's not really relevant to the Gemara beforehand. It does have some relevance to the Gemara coming up, to be honest with you, but in general, it's just not so relevant, you might just say, because it said Rav, the was talking about Chabibi, which was Rav Kia. So I mentioned Kia about Rav. It's not so clear what the Gemara is doing here. So the Rosh asked that question. And the Rosh actually has a different, it brings down an alternate Girsa in our Gemara. If you look in the Rosh, V'yesh Sparim Gorsim. It's in the Rosh, V'yesh Sparim Gorsim. Do you see that in the Rosh? Again, I don't, your rush is laid out differently, so it's a little
towards, hard. Is it in the beginning,
no,
middle,
towards the end?
It's lined up from the bottom.
Oh, no, that's for the no, what, guys. What percent would you say?
It's about the last 30%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I see it.
There you go.
Oh,
okay. Right, it worked.
Well, where is
it? Yes, Farim Gersin. Piyam says it's 11 lines from the bottom for you.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom.
10 lines from the bottom. Yes, Gersin. Hilk halacha ke'oto zug. The Gerson argument is that the halacha is not like that pair. And he says there's a Gerson that says, no, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi. Why? Mishum tev shili Shabbos Gersinan, the end of the Masech the Shabbos, we have Hilkos on Farsin and Dharmi 8 late. That Farsin and Dharmi is a 24-hour thing. And nobody argues over there. Umafarshi, Sarah the Mevan, Kihani Tzai, Perish, Tano, the Matsnisan, Vatana Kam de Breitza. And the case by Levi, who said that he wanted to do like those two Tanaim, and then they rejected it. Then Rav said, "Don't." Then we call Ayom, right? Because he says, like, not like Tanayim plural. Oh, the Tanayim, the Tanakam of our Brisa and the Tanakam of our Mishnah. He wanted to do that. So Amalei Amarav Aperaki Halacha goes to Zug. Then the Girsul will be that Rav says, "No, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar." Rafilu Igar Sinan ain't Halacha goes to Zug. And even if you put in the Halacha is not like this pair, Matzin Lameimer the Mistam of the Shas Polig Adar Shuba and Levi. We could say that even if you say that the Girsul is like us, that it argues the Stam of the Shas in Shabbos argues on the Psak Halacha of Rabbi Shua ben Levi here. Ubechol Asfarim Gar Sinan Hacha. Now afterwards, in all the Sfarim, we have another this addendum at the end. That Chia Barav, Yesh Tafarish. So how do you explain this addendum at the end of the Gemara? Shaita Yishtanu Deret. This is an amazing thing that he says here. And when his wife used to take a neder, Lo Haya Matir Miyad. He was not matir the neder right away. Alaya Shotik the Kantara. He used to remain silent in order to give her, you know, to, what do you call it, bother her a little bit. To make upset her that he's not being made for the nether right away. Kilaya wrote to the Kaimanidra, as if he was going to be Mekayim the nether. Ah, Haya Zore Kates Bakoto. And he used to put an arrow, shoot an arrow into the wall, the Kavein Bitzel, to put at the same point where the shade was at that point. Shiatir the Makarato, Kodim Shegil also Makom. In order that he'd be mad to the nether, if you hold that it's 24 hours, this was like his, point. When the shade reaches this point, right, Sarah, put the line in the wall, it says when the shade reaches here, he has to remind himself, by tomorrow I have to be mocked in the nether before it hits the arrow tomorrow. That's why it's relevant to the Gemara beforehand. Because that's what we were just talking about, whether it's Me'ed Le'ed or not. So you see from Rav Chia Barav that he was holding it was Me'ed Le'ed. And that would go even better with the Girsa that the Ran has. Halacha Ka'otuzu. That the halacha is that it goes Me'ed Le'ed.
What's the B'chol HaSfarim? Which Sfarim is he talking about? Is he talking about Girsaus of the Gemara?
Yeah. No, because Svarim Gersin. Whether you know, either way, either Gersin, whether you have Halakha Kotu Zug or Halakha Eno Kotu Zug,
it follows up with his.
This sequence afterwards is found there.
Where? Do we have it?
Yeah, right here. That's what we just read. We read Rafir Barav, Shadi Gir Babodik.
Oh, no. Oh, so he's being Mefarish.
He's explaining what it means. He said,
oh, I thought the words were in there.
Oh, no, sorry. He said, no matter whether you have Halakha Kotu Zug or you don't have Halakha Kotu Zug, this Gemara follows. And this Gemara, what is it doing here? So he's explaining that it's going to be, it's here because they were holding up a late. And it's relevant to our Gemara over here. It's close to the Ran, but the case makes it an issue of Haftarah Nedarim, right? Which is not really relevant to our Gemara here. It's actually relevant later on, maybe in the Sugi later on. Tomorrow's Daf, and Ayin Zayin, but it's not relevant to our Sugi over here. So now the Rosh, the way the Rosh is explaining it, it's relevant to our Sugi. Right, so now, and then the next case, Ezerv called the Kaim Mitzvah, Shiatele Makoto Kon Shigioto Makom, Rabba Barabuna Avakai, Leda Mida Tzilo, the Kavim Bolo Makarat. He used to stand up to check where the shade was, meaning that he would stand up to see how far his shadow was cast. Yotiv Mikayim, if he was sitting, he would get up. He'd get up to see where his shadow was cast. No, tomorrow, when does he have to, by what time does he have to be made from the nether, based on how far his shadow was cast. Svarim to Gersinin ain't Halacha Kotu Zug. But according to the Svarim, we say that the Halacha is not like made late, then you're bringing proofs from Amorayim that are made late. So why does it fit in? Then Allah goes to Ain Mikomo Khan Alakaman Bishmaitin. He says, if this that's the case, that the Yusuf reads like our Gemara does, that these don't belong here. They belong in the Gemara on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. And that this is the wrong placement of the statements of Kir Barav and Rav Huna. And that's the way the Ran explains it. It might belong later on in the Gemara. These cases belong later on in the Gemara. We'll see that tomorrow.
How do we pass it?
We're based on the Stam at the end of, I didn't look it up, to be honest with you. I should have looked up the Rambam is marked on Miyom Miyom, right? And the Gemara Stam, the Gemara in Shabbos, it says that Stam Nedarim are Miyom Miyom are 24 hours. So I would say that that's probably the way that, just from the evidence at hand, I would say that way. That's probably the way we paskin. But this Rush is amazing. It reminds you of the, right? Rashi brings down the Medrash by when the Malachim come to visit Sarah, it says, right, to Eit Chaya Ul Sarah Ben. Right, at this time, and then what does Rashi say? There's Sarah Tzvita of a Kotel, and they made a marking in the wall, and they said that when they come back to this point next year, it was Sarah Ben. So again, the same type of thing. He shot the arrow into the wall, he said, oh, when the shade gets to this, point in the wall, then that will be where I have to, by then I have to be made for the Nedarim, tomorrow. Alright, I'll stop here.